Turn with me this morning in your Bible to Proverbs 31. And we are looking at this great passage of Scripture on this Mother's Day. Speaks about the virtuous woman. As we look at the book of Proverbs, and we think of this passage of Scripture, certainly we recognize that Proverbs 31 is a commendation by God to those who have given themselves to their family and their children. And we find here in very lofty terms and great praise, God giving us a lasting commendation to mothers and to their lifestyle and to the sacrifice and service that they have given. And you know, this is what God lifts up. The opinions of this world are very short-lived, and they will mean nothing in eternity. They'll mean nothing before the throne of judgment. But here we have some great words of commendation, encouragement to mothers who have selflessly given themselves to their family and their children. And these would be words that would bring along the words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And so we trust that would be encouragement. These words here in Proverbs 31 are certainly goals for young ladies. They are areas in which young ladies ought to be trained by their parents as they face their future life and as they are to be ready for life. We have a great list of commendable characteristics, commendable actions that we find in this passage of Scripture that certainly any young lady ought to give herself to develop these in her life. You know, we have the world's opinion of what you're supposed to give your life to. And we have God's opinion. We have God's facts of what you're supposed to give your life to. And the opinions of man are fleeting and temporary and worthless. But God's opinion, God's statement, is something to build your life on that will last. And so we have, in this passage of Scripture, we have goals and areas of training for young ladies and for parents to train young ladies. And words that are directly from God that make set the goals for life. But actually, Proverbs 31 is even more than that. Proverbs 31 is a culmination of the book of Proverbs. And if you don't go to chapter 1 of Proverbs, as we look at Proverbs chapter 1, as we see the purpose of the book, we notice something very important in verse 4. To give subtlety to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. And as we go on in the book of Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 1, my son, if thou wilt receive my words. In chapter 3, my son, forget not my law. Chapter 5, verse 1, my son, attend unto my wisdom. And chapter 6, etc. Actually, the book of Proverbs is directed certainly to all of God's people, But the book of Proverbs is specifically directed to young men. It's directed to young men, and it is the spiritual instruction of a father to his son as his son is about to go out into life and face life. And these are the words that of a father to a young man. Now, as you think of it, actually, we have another picture here. We have Proverbs 31 is a message to a young man. And what does it say? Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. You know, the Bible says in the book of Proverbs that he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing. And really in the context of the whole book, the book of Proverbs, is writing this to young men and giving them a picture of the kind of wife that would be a gift from God. The kind of wife whose value would be unmeasurable, whose value would be at the top of the list. Just that very special, virtuous woman. And so it's kind of interesting. We usually don't think of it in that light, but really, this book is really written to young men. And it gives all the characteristics of a virtuous woman. And it gives the characteristics of that kind of person that would be a godly wife, a godly mother. So I'm not sure how many young men read the book of Proverbs and especially study Proverbs 31 when they're looking, when they're ready to find their life's mate, but this is what the context is. It's always added dimension when you really think of it in its context. So, this is a book written to young men. But we're going to flip it around to ladies here in a minute. But, if you know the book of Proverbs, there are actually two women in the book. There's two women in the book. The first chapters talk about the strange woman. And the last chapter gives the picture of the virtuous woman in sharp contrast to the strange woman who is about to destroy his life. And so we have the virtuous woman in contrast to the strange woman. And really, that's kind of the focus of the chapter. This is in just stark contrast of the strange woman he'd been warning his son about all through the book. And then all of a sudden, wow, here it is. This is the opposite. This is what I'm looking for. One is the person to stay away from, and the one is the one that you're looking for. The one that would be the right kind of mate for life. It's interesting as you think about it, as we think about the contrast between the two persons. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 7, verse 11, that the strange woman, her feet abide not in her house. She's on the streets. She's looking for the wrong thing. But notice what it says about the virtuous woman. Chapter 31, verse 14. She is like the merchant ships. She bringeth her food from afar. Here's one that is leaving her house to go buy food. The other is leaving her house to go find sin. It says in Proverbs chapter 7 and verse 11 that she is loud and stubborn. Here it says that that her lips, in her lips are the words of kindness. Proverbs 6:25 says, the strange woman, let her not take thee with her eyelids. Here it says that the virtuous woman looks well to the ways of her household. One is looking for work. One is looking for men. It says that in Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 24, her lips drop as a honeycomb, talks about flattery. Here it talks about her lips as containing the law of kindness. In Proverbs 6:26, it says she hunts for life. Here it says what? It says she seeks wool and flax, works willingly with her hands. She considers a field and buys it with the fruit of her hands. Here's one is looking, hunting for life. Another is hunting for food for her family. The Bible says in Proverbs 7, the strange woman, my husband's on a long journey, won't come back to the appointed time. Here it says, her husband does safely trust in her. You can go through the whole description of the virtuous woman, and you see that every action of her life is not only a positive reflection of industry and selflessness and diligence and hard work and generosity and compassion and trustworthiness and diligence, but every one of her characteristics are in direct contrast to the woman of the world. But as we look at the passage of Scripture, there's something that makes her tick. There's something that God says is the core ingredient of the virtuous woman. Something that so predominates her soul that all these things, in one sense of the word, are the natural result of this one thing. It is the most important thing. It's at the top of the list. It's something that not only is the root of all the good that she does, but it is the root of her impact on others. The Bible says, many daughters have done virtuously. She has impacted the people around her. But what is the real reason there's been an impact in their life? And we find that in verse 30. Favor is deceitful, means gifts. It's saying being gifted is great, but it doesn't mean that you have the real thing. And it says, and beauty is vain. It doesn't last your whole life. But there's something that lasts for life that isn't deceitful, that gives a true measure of a person, that is really the root principle of the virtuous woman. And notice what it says. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. What is the number one characteristic of the virtuous woman? What is the thing that is the predominant attribute or characteristic that produces such a life? What is the predominant reality in her life that affects others for eternity and for good? Well, what does it say? The fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. What is that one thing that she will always be remembered for? And the Bible says, what is it? It is the fear of the Lord. Far more important than beauty, far more important than gifts and graces, it's the number one thing, the fear of the Lord. As we think about the fear of the Lord, you know, the Bible tells us a lot about the fear of the Lord. We're going to look at a few verses about the fear of the Lord today. And we'll put some of these things together. In other words, if there's anything that you want in life that will prepare you for life, that will make you a blessing, that will affect others for good, that will affect your children after you, there's one thing that's more important than anything else, and that is the fear of the Lord. Notice in Proverbs chapter 1 that what it says about the fear of the Lord. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 29. Here is talking about the simple ones who love simplicity, the scorners who delight in their scorning, and the fools who hate knowledge. It says, verse 28, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. You know, now making this something that's not mysterious, it's very simple that the Bible says the fear of the Lord is a choice. The fear of the Lord is a choice that a person makes in life. Now that's good, and that's helpful. Because it means that it is not just for some special group of people. It's not for just, you know, these unique people that somehow they have the fear of the Lord and I don't. No, this is helpful because now it tells us that every young lady can make this choice. And every person who has the fear of the Lord, it's because they made that choice. Isn't that great? You can choose the fear of the Lord. It's something that we choose. Oh, there are other things that will war against that and thought, that choice, and who will try to pressure against that choice. There are many things in this world that are battling that, but yet we can make the choice. The fear of the Lord. Notice that that the fear of the Lord is not only a choice, but it is a result. It's a result of meeting a condition. Notice in chapter 2, it says, verse number 5, it says, then shall they understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Then, notice the fear of the Lord is a result of certain actions. What are the actions? Chapter 2, it says, if you will receive my words, if you will hide my commandments, if you will incline your ear to wisdom, if you apply your heart to wisdom, if you cry after knowledge, if you lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek for her as silver and you search for her as for hid treasure, notice, then you'll find the fear of the Lord. Very simple. You know, putting it in practical terms, what's it saying? Well, young man, if the fear of the Lord is a result of those five or seven conditions, then you better make sure that you can find a person with the fear of the Lord, and there's one pretty telltale mark. What is it? She spends more time in the Bible than in front of the mirror. That's what it's saying, isn't it? She spends more time in the Bible. She spends more time seeking God and His knowledge and His wisdom from the Bible than seeking the vanity of the mirror. Well, that makes it not so hard to figure out, doesn't it? The fear of the Lord is a result. Notice the fear of the Lord is an attitude revealed by an attitude towards evil. Turn to Proverbs chapter 8. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride, arrogancy, and the evil way, and the froward mouth, do I hate. Boy, you know, that's a strong word. You know, you could say people tolerate evil. Some people seek evil. Some people play with evil. People have a light regard of evil. But here it says the woman that feareth the Lord, she hates evil. She hates evil. Wow. I don't think that you would find the virtuous woman watching the soap operas. I don't think you'd find a virtuous woman tempted by the soap operas to watch them. I don't think that she would see wrong kind of magazines or the wrong kind of books anywhere close. I think around that person, I think you would find the ashes in the burning barrel. Why? Because the Bible says those who have the fear of the Lord have an attitude about evil. an attitude about evil. As you think about that, that is a rare sight in this world today. No wonder the Bible says its value is far above rubies. The fear of the Lord, the Bible says, is clean. Notice it says in chapter 14 about the fear of the Lord. Chapter 14, verse 27, the fear of the Lord is the fountain of life. To depart from the snares of death. Chapter 16, verse 6 says something close. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. Death, life has all sorts of snares. Life has all sorts of traps. The Bible calls them the traps and the snares of death. The traps and the snares of destruction. How does the fear of the Lord described here? The fear of the Lord is described in a very careful demeanor of life. It is a demeanor that avoids the snares of life. It's a demeanor of life that says, you know, that's a little bit questionable. I'm not going there. That's a little bit, I don't know about that. There's an inward sense of that which is wrong. There's an inward sense of a pathway. You know, if you're driving a car and the directions say turn right here, and you look down that road, and you know it's kind of just two pathways for the wheels, and the road is pretty narrow. And it's kind of, you know, snaky, and it makes some turns where you can't tell where it's going. You know, really, probably the first thing that comes to your mind is, I don't know if I want to go down this road. I don't know if I want to go down this road. And that's the same thing about the fear of the Lord. It says, I don't think I want to go down this path. I don't want to go down that road. I don't know what's down that road. Doesn't look right. I'm not going there. Notice it says in Proverbs chapter 9. In chapter 9, verse 10, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. For me by thy days shall be multiplied, and the years of thy life shall be increased. If thou be wise, thou shalt be wise for thyself, but if thou scornest, thou alone shalt bear it. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. The Bible equates wisdom, knowledge, or true knowledge, true understanding, with being able to detect and enjoy and love that which is holy. That can make us a broad generalization. But a broad generalization is that there's some people that they look at anything that is close to holiness and they're terrified by it. They try to avoid it. Because you know what? They don't have the fear of the Lord. They don't know that holiness is beautiful. They think that holiness is restrictive. They think that holiness robs you of life and that all those things with it. But notice the fear of the Lord is the knowledge of the holy. So we think about that. I'd like to ask this very simple question. Well, how does one get the fear of the Lord? Now, we already had some insights into that. We looked at some thoughts on how you get the fear of the Lord. But let's get a definition of the fear of the Lord. Really, the fear of the Lord is a true knowledge and consciousness and a sense of God. The fear of the Lord is a real knowledge and sense and consciousness of God and His being and His presence and His person. It really has to do with knowing God. It has to do with being in fellowship with God. Really has to do with having really experienced the God of the Bible. You know, that's how you can tell that a lot of religion today isn't true. It's false, it's fake, it's counterfeit. Because the result of that experience with God doesn't fit with the Bible. It doesn't bring a hatred of evil. It doesn't bring discretion and discernment. It doesn't bring a love of the things that are of God and holiness. It doesn't bring a pathway that leaves the questionable and goes in the straight and narrow. Now, how does one get the fear of the Lord? I'm going to give you very quickly some very simple truths, and some of these things you can identify with. But let's turn to John chapter 16. And I'm going to talk about how do you get the fear of the Lord. How do you get the fear of the Lord? John chapter 16, this is a simple passage of Scripture and you know it. But John chapter 16 is talking about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And it says, and when He has come, He will reprove or convince the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. You know, one of the first steps to understanding who God is, and one of the first encounters with a holy God is called the convicting work of the Holy Spirit. And that work of the Holy Spirit is a work, it says, that shows us what is sin. He reproves the world of sin. You know, before you get you meet the Holy Spirit and His conviction, some things are, not so bad. You know, in fact, sin might be something that you want and something you delight in, but the Holy Spirit, He shines His light on sin and He makes it look just like it is, ugly and black and wicked. Whoa. Where'd that come from? That's the fear of the Lord. I used to think that was good. Now I see it as bad. What is that? That's the beginning of the development of the fear of the Lord. It says He convicts us. He reproves us of that which is right. You know, when the Holy Spirit shows us what is right, He shows us not only that it's good and it's wonderful, but He shows us how far we've come short of it. It says he convinces us of righteousness and of judgment. He shows us what we deserve. Death. Condemnation. Hell. You know, when the Spirit of God shows us that our sin is sending us to hell, it doesn't look it doesn't look so beautiful anymore. It doesn't look so nice. It doesn't look so tempting. Here we have this, the beginning of the fear of the Lord is the work of the Holy Spirit. Bible tells us, how do you get the fear of the Lord? Well, get into the place where the Holy Spirit is. Get into the place where the Holy Spirit is. You know, when you're around the right people that are filled with the Holy Spirit, things look a lot different than when you're with the wrong people and evil looks good. We looked at Proverbs chapter 2 and we're trying to make this quickly, but notice it says that if you will meet these conditions, then you will get the fear of the Lord. If you'll receive my words, if you'll hide my commandments, if you'll incline your ear, talking about praying for God to give us wisdom and understanding through His Word. But, you know, what is it saying? It's saying, you know what? If you read the Bible, you're going to get the fear of the Lord. Do you ever get in a place where you say, you know what? I don't have enough fear of the Lord. Do you ever get to a place where you say, you know what? I enjoyed being in that situation and I shouldn't have enjoyed it. And we say, you know what? The fear of the Lord is not at a high peak in my life. And you know, there's a very simple solution. Read the Bible. Read the Bible. What do you mean? Read the Bible for 5 minutes? No. Read the Bible, one verse? No. No. Read the Bible chapter after chapter after chapter after chapter until you can sense the fear of the Lord coming back. Read the Bible. Read the Bible. Notice what else the Bible says. What happens when a person gets into God's presence? Isaiah chapter 6. Get into the presence of God. Isaiah chapter 6. Here we find Isaiah gets into the presence of the Lord. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. At the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. This is real holy smoke, folks. And then I said, Woe is me, for I'm undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King. The fear of the Lord is when a result of us getting into the very presence of God. Getting into the presence of God. Think of Peter. He saw the Lord do these miracles. And what did he say? He said, Lord, depart from me. I am a sinful man. He came conscious of God and who he was. And his whole view of life changed. His whole view of himself changed. You know, I think there's a great truth that when you get saved, something special happens. And when you get saved, the Holy Spirit comes into your life. And you know, before you get saved, the Holy Spirit is on the outside and he's convicting you of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. But he's convicting you from an outside perspective. But when you get saved, the Holy Spirit is doing that from an inside perspective. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19, it says, What, knowing not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. You know, when you get the Holy Spirit in you, your whole view of everything starts changing. All of a sudden, everything starts changing because now the Holy Spirit is in you. And the Holy Spirit is saying, now you ought not to do that. And the Holy Spirit is saying, no, that doesn't please me. And the Holy Spirit presence in our person's life is revealing a holy God to us. We need the fear of the Lord. If we don't have anything, if we seek anything in life, we need to seek the fear of the Lord. In context. Well, young man, is that the number one thing you're looking for? Is that the number one thing you're looking for? The fear of the Lord? Young ladies, do you see that as the most valuable thing that you can ever find in life? Do we see that that is the overriding principle of life that is the key ingredient that produces all these things that please the Lord? Is the key ingredient that keeps us from doing all these things or being the kind of person that displeases the Lord? The fear of the Lord. And you know what? What's great about it, it's available to anyone. We can choose the fear of the Lord. We can get the fear of the Lord as we choose to be in God's Word. We can get the fear of the Lord as we seek to draw close to the Lord and be in His presence and be conscious of Him. A simple truth is, be good for all of us today to evaluate our life. Where are we? In our soul, where is the fear of the Lord? Are we happy? Where we are spiritually with the level of the fear of the Lord? Perhaps we'd have to say, you know, I can think of a day in my life in which I had more of the fear of the Lord than I do today. You know, there's a lot of puzzles in life, a lot of questions in life. But you know, young person, the Bible is telling us that there's something that is the most important thing that you can seek in life. Far above anything else. Young lady, young man, what is it that we should seek to have more than anything else? The fear of the Lord. And perhaps today, it would be a day in which we would say, you know, there's some things I need to be doing in my life. I need to get back to reading the Bible. I need to get back to, or I need to get, I get, need to get to a place in my life where I'm reading the Bible like I ought to read it. You know, there are different times in my life when I sense that I don't have as much of fear of the Lord as I ought. And you know, it's something simple that I always found out works. Start reading a lot of the Bible first thing in the morning. Read 5 or 10 or 11 or more chapters a day. Get in the Bible. Get in the Old Testament. Get a fresh view of our God. The fear of the Lord. I guess the world has a lot of pressures on life today. But there's one thing that God says is the most valuable thing: to have the fear of the Lord. Not only is it the most valuable, but it is the most effective spiritual tool you can have in your life. Because the fear of the Lord moves and affects the people around us. Now, every young man they have a godly mother. They think about what their mom would think. No matter where they are in the world, the consciousness of their mother goes with them. The sense of her fear of the Lord touches his soul, even in the most dark and evil places. That soul is moved by the memory of a mother with the fear of the Lord. If there's anything we ought to seek, it is to seek that we would have the fear of the Lord as that invisible mark of our soul. That when people think of us, and those children around us think of us, they will think of the very thought, of the very sense of being in the presence of a person who fears the Lord. Most powerful weapon or power of a mother, the fear of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today how this is so true, Lord. We thank you today how our mother's opinion of evil is something that shapes our thinking. How we thank you that, Lord, that sense of the fear of the Lord gives to every child a consciousness of a living God, of a holy God. That is imparted to that soul and to that life. We thank you that, Lord, the very marks of a mother's displeasure at sin, a mother's joy of righteousness and godliness, how they make such wonderful marks on our soul. And not only guide us in life, but turn us to the God of heaven and to His Son. And Lord, I pray that even today, that mothers would be encouraged to keep feeding their soul, filling their hearts with the love of God and the fear of the Lord. And Lord, I pray that you'll help young ladies above all things to seek, to pursue the fear of the Lord. And I pray that, Lord, that you'll help young men in this place to realize that the most precious thing in life, the most precious thing in life is a virtuous woman, one who is filled with the fear of the Lord. And so, Lord, as all of us are here today, we can measure in one sense the fear of the Lord in our life. And Lord, might we respond correctly. Might we respond in concrete action. May we depart from evil communications. May we confess that which displeases you. May we turn to you in your word. May we give ourselves more often than ever to getting into the presence of a holy God, that the fear of the Lord might be seen in us for your glory. And on this Mother's Day, Lord, I pray that you encourage mothers in the most important thing, the fear of the Lord. I pray in Jesus' name.